Joffrey.
Yeah.
Okay, so
it's
the 17th?
Right, it's right here.
Okay, so that's wrong. Okay.
Morning, everybody! Whew, that's loud. Good to see ya. We're going to worship the Lord with his tithes and our offerings here in a minute. Before we do that, if this is your first time here with us today, welcome. I'm really glad that you're here today. In your worship guide is a connection card. If you wouldn't mind pulling this out and filling it out and place it in the offering plate when it comes by, that would be terrific. Just so we get a little bit of information about you, that would be cool. In your worship guide also is a sheet called Pathway Happenings. There's also some upcoming events on the inside cover of your worship guide. I want to tell you about a few things that are coming up here at the church. We got a lot of cool stuff coming up. First of all, on February 13th, Friday night, the date's actually wrong here on the Pathway Happening sheet. It says the 17th there. It's actually the 13th, so if you have a pen, you can make that change. It's the Friday night before Valentine's Day. We're going to be having a special viewing of the movie Fireproof at the Oro Valley Library. If you didn't have a chance to see it when it was out in the theaters a few months ago, it is an awesome movie, and it will change your marriage. So make plans to get a babysitter for that night. Come on out and join us. It's going to be a lot of fun, and we want you guys there. We're going to have hot dogs and popcorn. We're going to set you up just like the movies and have concessions and everything that they're complimentary just to you and let you know how much we appreciate you. And come on out and watch this movie. It's going to be a lot of fun. Then the day after that, on February 14th, we're going to be having a men's breakfast at Coco's. So men, unless you're serving your wife breakfast in bed that morning, come on out to men's breakfast and have a great time. We're going to be talking about relationships and marriage and things like that. So wives, encourage your husbands to be there because it'll help them. And then go out on a date later that night for Valentine's Day. Also, we've got Dare to Share coming up for the youth at the end of February. If you want to help sponsor some of the youth to go to that event, you can talk to Randy Hinton, who is out sick today, but you can talk to me, you can talk to Pastor Johnny. Let us know that you want to help sponsor some of the youth to go to this event. It's going to be great. And also, we've got a new some new women's Bible studies starting. One starts this week on the book of Esther on Tuesday morning at 8:45. Pastor Mindy is leading that, and you can see her if you're interested in joining that, because there's a book that's the curriculum is $20, and so come see Mindy after the service and she'll set you up with the book and all that. That starts this Tuesday morning. We also have the same study for those of you ladies who aren't available during the day. We have an evening study starting on Wednesdays starting in February. So once again, see Mindy for the book and curriculum for that. If you're interested, that's being led by Evelyn and Kelly. So make sure you read through the rest of your worship guide also. There's a lot of good information in there, more than I can tell you in the few minutes I have up here. But I encourage you guys to get involved here at Pathway. It's a great way to get to know people and strengthen your relationship with God. Let's have a word of prayer over today's tithes and offerings. Lord Jesus, I just thank you for what you're doing in this church and in the lives of the people of this church. Thank you for that awesome time of prayer we just had, Father. And I pray that you would use these events that we have coming up to help bind us closer together, Lord. Help strengthen our relationships with each other. Cast out any disunity, any bitterness that we may have towards each other, Lord. Just help us bind us together in unity. so we can reach this community for you, Lord. Bless these tithes and offerings. Use them for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
I sit alone inside my house in this cold room, watching the rain fall down, feeling I might fall too, but I know you are here. I know you have never left me, and I know you are here. Even though I can't see you now, I can hear your voice calling out to me. I can sense your love embracing me. I can feel so far, you are always near, you surround me right here. I laugh, I cry, I shake my head, I close my eyes. I turn to you, you'll take me past the doubt inside. But I know you are here. I know you have never left me. I know you are here. Even though I can't see you now, I can hear your voice calling out to me. I can sense your love embracing me. I can feel so far, you are always near. You surround me, but I know you are here. I know you have never left me. I know you are here, even though I can't see you now. I can hear your voice calling out to me, and I can sense your love embracing me. I can feel your touch removing all my tears. You surround me here.
How's everybody doing? Just think when you think you might be dozing off a little bit. This is all planned. This is part of our strategy to make sure you're with us. Good job, Jeffrey. No, just kidding. Yeah. In your worship guides, there's a note sheet if you want to take notes. But we're going to continue talking about this 30-day challenge that we started last week. And we've already begun seeing some incredible results. Just this last week, I received several emails from people that were just really, really touched by God. I want to just read a couple from you. This one right here. This couple is not here this morning, so I've got permission to use this, but I don't want to say their name. But she writes, "It's funny because as I was praying, not confident in this outpouring of blessings that could come from tithing. As a matter of fact, not confident at all. But I still wanted to stay committed to the challenge and just go on faith. Just a reminder of our challenge. It's four things right here. The first is to commit to praying every single day for the next month. The truth is, Christians, we believe in the power of prayer, but sometimes life gets so busy and creeps in that we sometimes just kind of let prayer go by the wayside. In fact, according to the Barna Research Group, 82% of all Americans believe that prayer can change what happens in a person's life, but only 30% of Americans say that they even pray once a day, and only 25% of Protestants say that they pray once a day. So we believe in the power of prayer, we just don't do it. And the challenge is to see if prayer doesn't only change your life, but change your church. So we're praying every day. Second thing is to fast one day a week, asking God to send a great revival. And the third thing is to bring an unsaved person with you every Sunday morning for a month. Do your hardest to invite someone, try to get them to come so we can present them with the gospel. And the fourth thing is to tithe for a month, because we know that when we put our priorities and our finances in order, that God's blessing is definitely over our lives. So Christy says here, but I still wanted to stay committed to the challenge and just go on faith, though I didn't really believe it in my heart. When I prayed, I said, please show me if it be your will. And I have been praying every day, also like we are supposed to for this challenge. And now new, potentially amazing doors are opening for me in a way that I never thought possible. But it wasn't until I made this commitment, and then all of a sudden, I see these blessings. Pretty cool. And then from Lori Rupert. Lori said, I can read this to you. She said, I wanted to let you know how God has blessed me. Starting on November 18th, I had something wrong with my shoulder. It was very painful and kept me from sleeping. I was praying, seeing the chiropractor, and getting massages to try and fix the problem. It helped a little, but not much. Wednesday was my fasting day, and on Thursday, I woke up to realize that I had slept through the night and my shoulder was completely pain-free. Praise God. I can't wait to see what he has for me and everyone else who's next. It's truly amazing. It's truly amazing. And I talked to her this morning. She said, there's no pain in that shoulder. And she said, what's cool about it is I was praying, those prayer points, and I was praying for the church, and God just blessed me with this healing, because that's the kind of God we serve, a God who, listens to our prayers. And when we fast and we make those sacrifices, we know that we have his attention. So we've been asking God to pour out his blessing over our lives and over this church. And this morning I want to speak to you from 1 Chronicles chapter 4, if you would turn there right now in your Bibles. 1 Chronicles 4. The first 9 chapters of Chronicles is crazy. In fact, if you follow a reading through the Bible plan, the first 9 chapters of Chronicles, you're going to kind of just skim through it, unless you're just like a, really diligent Bible student. Because all it is genealogy. This person, Mahalahuli, begot, all these great, beautiful Hebrew names that we can't pronounce. This person begot this person. This person begot this person. We start kind of doing the on thing. But all of a sudden, 1 Chronicles chapter 4, the historian, he stops. You'll never see this in any other genealogy in God's word. The historian stops, and it's as if he puts his head down, and he rubs his forehead, and he says, boy, I remember hearing something about this person named Jabez. There was something different about him that I just got to let history remember as I write this chronicle. There's something different about Jabez. And then in the middle of a genealogy, you get this little biography of a man that you will never hear again in Scripture. He's only in this one little passage here. And what we discover is a remarkable story. So 1 Chronicles 4:8 continues the genealogy, and Koz was the father of Anob and Hazabeh, and the clans of Aharel, son of Haram. But then in verse 9 it says, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, I gave birth to him in pain. Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. And God granted his request. Then the historian goes on about his business. Caleb, Shehu's brother, was the father of Mir, and he goes on with the chronology. But all of a sudden, we see this little picture, this little vignette of a guy named Jabez, and he's not remembered for a heroic act. He's not remembered for what he did, but he's remembered for what he prayed. And he wasn't afraid to ask something huge from God. And what did God do? What God always does. God does what he always does. You getting this? What God does here is what he always does. He granted his request. And this morning, as we look at this few little verses from Jabez, I want to invite you to ask the Holy Spirit to stir something in you this morning. Would you open your hearts right now to receive something powerful and dynamic from the Holy Spirit? Because this morning the Lord wants you to leave differently than you came. So Lord, right now we invite your Holy Spirit, Lord, to move in us. We invite you, Lord, to stir us, Lord. This morning we want to increase our faith, Lord. This morning we're going to put our trust in you in new ways as we really, Lord, look to you and seek your face and ask your blessing over our lives. I just pray right now, Holy Spirit, move amongst us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So this is the first thing Jabez says. He says, Oh, that you would bless me. Now, it's safe to say that Jabez may not have been experiencing God's blessing because he had something going against him. It was his name. In our culture, we don't place a great deal of importance, usually, on names. There's a couple here this morning. They got two kids named Champion and Courage. I love it. Amen. You know, these names mean something. These names resonate with power and encouragement. But for most people, when they name their kids, it's just, I like the sound of that name. In the 1990s, the most popular boy's name was Michael, after Michael Jordan. Sometimes we name, you know, people after people we like, and right now, we're going to be seeing a lot of little Baracks being born. It's already starting to happen, you know. But for Jabez, he had a bad name in a culture where names meant everything. It's still the same in some Middle Eastern cultures. It's that way in India. When my mom was born, they put a great deal of importance on her name. Her name, Vimal, means mother of a handsome son. No. Referring to my brothers. I know some of you are thinking that. I must be talking about David. You've seen David. He's not handsome. Come on. But what they do is they study a child's disposition and temperament for like 30 days. In fact, my cousin just had a baby, and it took him like a month and a half before they even named the baby because they wanted to see what kind of name to give the baby. And my mom's name means holy. You know, and that's it mean, in the culture, it means a lot when you name a baby. And Jabez, his name means one who causes pain. Not a very good name. Hi, my name is Jabez. I'm a pain in the rear end, you know. there's not a great deal of blessing on that name. Because in Hebrew culture, people would try to live up to what that name meant. And so he was probably teased all of his life because of his name. My middle name is an Indian name, and it's spelled A-N-I-L, Anil. But all growing up, people would say anal, you know. In fact, some still do it, and I tell my wife, would you stop it, please? You know, not really. She behaves really well. But I was teased, and I'm sure Jabez was reminded. He was probably reminded all of his life that his future was bleak. Now, Maybe in these economic times, you might be feeling a little bit like that, that the future is just a little bleak right now. And what a name to live up to. But you know what? Jabez found a way out of his dismal future. He called on the God of Israel, and he said, "Oh, that you would bless me." The way the New King James Version interprets that is, "Bless me indeed." When indeed's like putting 10 different exclamation marks after that. "Oh, that you would bless me. God of Israel, bless me." In our culture, again, the word "bless" doesn't have a lot of meaning. "Lord, would you bless the missionaries in India? Bless our food." "Achoo! Oh, bless you," you know. Or if you speak Christianese, "Bless you, brother." Like, you know, you're saying, "Have a good day, buddy," kind of thing. So the meaning of the word "bless" is watered down. And that's why I believe so many Christians today, they're not desperate for it. We're not desperate for God's blessing in the way that you see people in the Old Testament. They want God's blessing. They're desperate to have God's blessing. And Jabez, with a bleak future, says, "God of Israel, would you give me your blessing?" The word "bless" in the biblical sense means to ask for or to impart God's supernatural favor. It's a supernatural, unlimited goodness to surround you, to go before you. It's like when Abraham asked for a son. You know, he wanted God's blessing, and God blessed him and said, "Not only are you going to have a son, but your descendants are going to be as numerous as the stars in the sky." And he asked for God's blessing. It's for his supernatural favor and his unlimited goodness to surround you, to go before you. And when you have God's blessing on your life, supernatural doors open up for you. When you have God's blessing on your life, he makes a way where there is no way. And maybe you've never asked God for his blessing, for his supernatural favor over your life. I know for some, they just don't feel qualified. Because Satan, we know, would want you to believe that you're never going to amount to anything. You're nothing but a sin-sick person that will never amount to anything for God. You know, that's the lies that Satan speaks to us. But it's a lie, because God wants to give you his blessing. He wants to bless your marriage. He wants to bless your finances. He wants to bless your work. He wants to bless every area of your life. And then when we ask for God's blessing, our part in it is to walk in obedience to it. For example, if we ask for God's blessing over our finances, you know, we know that that comes with the responsibility of giving 10% of our income to the Lord. We know that the Lord says that the people in Malachi's time, they were living under a curse because they were not tithing. And we know that God says, "You can test me in this. I will open up the floodgates of heaven and pour such a blessing on you that you will not be able to contain it." Or if it's our marriage, you know, if we ask God's blessing of our marriage, you know, you got to stop being a fuddy-duddy, maybe, you know. Honor your spouse. Treat your spouse with respect and love. You know what I mean? "God bless my marriage." And then you're a jerk? No, that's not the way to do it. If you ask the Lord to bless, you know, your work, well, at work, be honest, be teachable, you know, be a joy to be around, you know, walk in obedience to what you're asking God for. And what you're going to see, and I've seen it so many times, I've seen it in the last 2 weeks in my own life. I want to tell you a story that I'll probably do in a week or so, because it's a long story, about just how God's supernatural favor is surrounding my wife and I right now. But we have evidence of it in our own life. And I'm telling you, I want to challenge you this morning to begin to ask God's blessing in your life daily. You might think, "Well, man, isn't that such a selfish prayer to ask God to bless?" Of course it's not a selfish prayer, because if you get God's blessing over your life, you're going to bless everybody around you. You're going to be a blessing. You know, you're not going to be, you know, "Oh, no, there's, you know." No, it's like people are going to want to be around you because you're walking in God's favor. I love being around people that I know are walking in God's favor. They're just a blessing to be around. So ask for God's blessing. And when you're living in God's blessing, I'm telling you, you are going to shake the world around you. The world around you is going to be a complete different place by living in God's blessing. Amen. I like it when you say amen. It makes me feel like you're, you know, awake and listening. And thank you. Amen.
Amen.
The second thing he asked for is very similar to the blessing. He asked God, would you enlarge my territory? So not only does he ask for God's blessing, he says, would you expand my territory? He didn't want to settle with what he had because he knew something about God. He knew that God wants to bless his children. And we don't know what territory, what kind of property or anything that Jabez had, but we do know this. In Jabez's time, part of Israel's recent national history was Joshua's conquest of Canaan and the partitioning out of the promised land into little chunks of real estate for all the tribes of Israel. So when Jabez cries out to God for God to enlarge his territory, he was looking at his present circumstances and concluded, surely I was born for more than this. Surely I was born for more than this. As a farmer, he looked over his land and said, God, everything that you've put under my care, O Lord, take it and enlarge it. Expand my territory. And I believe that this is a request not just for more real estate. I believe he's asking God for more influence, for more responsibility, for more opportunity to make a mark for God. Because in Bible days, when you get more territory, it comes with more leadership. You've got more people to lead. You've got more responsibilities. You've got more of a chance to do more for God. So I believe the highest form of this prayer from Jabez might sound something like this. Oh God and King, please expand my opportunities and make and my impact in such a way that I touch more lives for your glory. Let me do more for you. That is what I am praying. I know many people today, you know, we get so busy with things that are kind of misplaced priorities that we want to do less for God. We want to do less responsibilities for God. And you know, it's discouraging sometimes when you're in leadership and you ask people to serve or to get involved and they just tell you, I just don't have any time. My prayer is, Lord, expand my territory. Give me more people to shepherd, to watch over. I want to do more for you, Lord. Would you expand my territory personally? Would you expand my territory with Pathway of Hope? Lord, give us more people. Give us more influence in this community. Bless me, O Lord, and expand my territory. In fact, that's what we're calling our current series. Lord, would you revive us? Would you shake away that complacency, if there's any, or that apathy, or that just going through the motions of the routine of life? Lord, would you revive us? Would you stretch us, expand us, and would you bless us? I'm going to give you a thought right now. If you think about this just for a second. If the God of heaven loves you infinitely and he wants you in his presence at every moment, and if he knows that heaven is a much better place for you, then why on earth has he left you here? If the God of heaven loves you infinitely and he wants you in his presence at every moment and he knows that heaven is a much, much better place for you, why on earth has he left you here? Bruce Wilkinson, the person that founded Walk Through the Bible and has done seminars, and he wrote a powerful little book called The Prayer of Jabez. He asked this question to a small college in California, a Christian college, with a student body of about 2,000 people. And he was teaching them that week on the power of blessing and asking God to expand your territory. And he suggested that the student body, take on a ministry goal that was worthy of the size of the college. He says, why not look at the globe and pick an island? When you have picked it, put together a team of students, charter an airline, then take that island over for God. And then he asked them, he said, I want to ask you, If the God of heaven loves you infinitely, and he wants you in his presence at every moment, and if he knows that heaven is a much better place for you, then why on earth has he left you here? And he answered, because God wants you to be moving out of your boundary lines, taking in new territory for him, and reaching people for God in his name. So this was the challenge to the student body. So they, for weeks, they got together, and a vision for more territory swept this campus. And by fall, a major mission project was planned for the following summer, and they called it Operation Jabez. And they planned, and all in all, there was about 150 students and faculty that flew to the island of Trinidad for the summer. And they had trained teams to minister through drama, through construction, through vacation Bible schools, music, even home visitation. And in Trinidad, when they went to minister, they left with thousands and thousands of people saying yes to Jesus and opening up their hearts to receive salvation. From a little prayer, would you bless me? Would you expand my territory? They asked for that, and God granted their request. Let's talk about your situation right now. There's more to this prayer that I want to talk about, but we're out of time right now. So I just want to today, look at these two things. For God's blessing and for God to enlarge your territory. Do you want God to do that? I mean, do you really want God's supernatural favor and his blessing? Or do you want him to enlarge the territory that he's already assigned to you? I hope you do, because I know God wants to do that. And he wants to enlarge our territory, even as a church, so we can help scores of people find Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. So this morning, as we close, just allow the Holy Spirit right now to just speak to you in regard to your own life. Maybe it is your marriage right now that you need God's blessing on. Maybe it's your health. Maybe it's your schoolwork. Maybe it's your daughter or son who was once serving, but now they've drifted off. Or maybe it's a parent that doesn't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Where is it right now that you need God's blessing over your life? I'm telling you this, the God of Israel, if you ask him, just like Jabez did, you will have the same response, and God will grant your request. So, Lord, right now, Jesus, we come before you, Lord. Lord, so many people here with different situations, different circumstances, Lord. But we have one thing in common. We serve an unchanging God. So right now, Lord Jesus, we ask you, would you bless us, Lord? Would you give us your unlimited goodness and your supernatural, your favor, Lord, to go before us, Lord, to surround us? Lord, we're going to take the courage, Lord, to walk in obedience to whatever area of our lives you're asking us to, Lord. We know all throughout the Bible, Lord, that you bless people, Lord, but we know that you're a covenant God, that when we enter covenant, you do your part, but you also give us our part to do, Lord. And you want obedience from us, Lord. So we're not going to just ask for a blessing blindly and choose to live any way we want to live, Lord. No, Lord. We want your blessing over our lives, and we want to walk in truth and obedience to your word. So right now, Lord, I just pray that you would shower your blessings, Lord, over the people of Pathway of Hope, Lord Jesus. I just pray, Lord, that miracle after miracle would take place, like we've already begun to see, Lord. Lord, and I know that we're never going to be surprised by what you do, Lord, but we're always going to be amazed, because you are truly an amazing God. Amen. Can we just all bow our heads right now? This is just a time right now between you and the Lord. And if that's you this morning, if you're saying in your heart, yes, Lord, I want to give more of myself to you. I'm ready to do your will. to take my heart and make it new. Take my heart and make it true. Lord, I give it all to you. And you say, Lord, I'm asking you right now for your blessing, Lord. Bless me as a parent. Bless me as a spouse. Bless me as a student or as an employee or as a business owner, whatever it is. Would you just say in your heart, if this is your truly heart's desire this morning, you want God to and his Holy Spirit to move in you in fresh ways, say it. Just say, Lord, bless me. I want your blessing. I don't want to leave this morning without your blessing. And would you take my territory, Lord, my influence, and would you expand it? Maybe it's my influence at work to be a shining light where there's darkness. Would you expand my territory? Maybe it's in your finances, whatever it is that the Lord is pressing on your heart. Would you just say in your heart right now, yes, Lord, I'm asking for this, and I'm going to believe it for you, because you're a God that never changes and is true and living. We ask you for this right now, Lord Jesus, in your precious, matchless name. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand together. Can we just sing the chorus of the song, Kevin? Take my heart, make it new. Let's just sing that part. In G. All right. Let's sing together. So take my heart and make it new and make it true and make it like you. And take my hands, I lift them high. There is not mine to do. Do what you will, do what you will. Do what you will. Again, let's sing that. So take my heart. So take my heart and make it new. Make it true and make it like you. And take my hands, I lift them high. They're yours, not mine to do. To do what you will. One more time. So take my heart and make it new and make it true and make it like you. Oh, take my hands, I lift them high. They're yours, not mine to do. Do what you will. Do what you will. Do what you will. To do what you will. Do what you will. Do what you will. Amen. Amen. Isn't that a great song? That song's by Desperation Band. It's called Ready Now if you want to download it on your iTunes. I got that on my iPod, and every time I run, I tell you, put that on, and I just take off, you know. I'm not a fast runner, but that just inspires me. Lord, I'm ready. I want to just give it all, Lord. I want to go for the gusto with you, Lord. It's a good song to download if you have an iPod. I'm asking God to expand our territory. You know, this last week at youth group, we had 18 people, 18 kids. We're busting out of Randy's home. And I know immediately we need a storefront building, or we need some place for our Speaking in tongues here. Is there an interpretation? Okay, midweek. Thank you. We need a place for midweek meetings and Bible studies and youth groups. So that's what I'm asking right now the Lord for. Would you expand our territory? Even on Sundays, I mean, if we can find a place to meet in just a permanent location, Lord, if this is your will, and I believe it is, would you do it, Lord? Would you bless us and expand our territory? Amen. Last week I gave you those prayer points, and I've been emailing them to you every day. If you're not on our email list, write that on your communication card. We'd love to give you our daily reminders to fast and pray, and also points of prayer. But I'm asking you right now, if there's some of you, or many of you, on Tuesday, would you fast for Carl as he has surgery? Can I have a show of hands? Who's willing to fast on Tuesdays for Carl? For sure. Praise God. Thank you. And then on Friday, when Dawn is in surgery, can I have a show of hands for those of you that will fast on Fridays for Dawn? Amen. All right. Amen. As you're fasting and praying, pray for all those points of prayer. Please remember Travis and Tara in your prayer. Lord, would you make a way? Lord, would you bless them with the baby? Amen. All right. I love you all. I hope you have a great day. Don't forget to keep on praying. I love you. Have a great day. You're dismissed. Bye-bye. Take my heart and make it.
Never thought he cared so much about the minute.